Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. It's a Reaction Monday, presented by First Bank. Here's the Fan Late Night with Sean Drotar.
Well, let's get right to it. The Broncos are 0-3. They haven't been completely out of these games, but at a certain point, like Bill Parcells famously said, you are what your record says you are. Joining us now is 104.3 The Fan's Nick Ferguson. Follow him at Nick Ferguson underscore 25 on Twitter, where he's all afternoon and evening he's been in some really interesting film breakdowns. How are you doing tonight, Nick?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. And let me start with this, and I'm not trying to throw you under the bus here, because we had a lot of us guess these sort of things. You had the Broncos coming out this season at 12-4. I think we understand they're probably not going 12-1 the rest of the way, but I was even less bullish. I had them at 7-9, and I'm having a difficult time trying to figure out how they go 7-6 the rest of the way. What did you expect to see from the Broncos that you have not seen yet this season?
Well, you know, my 12-4 prediction was a prediction that was well, you know, thought out. I went through the schedule game by game and broke it down into quarters, and I was expecting to see a defense that was going to be a dominating force. The pieces were already there in place with having a bookend, Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, and looking at what Coach Fangio had with the Chicago Bears, and I felt at the time, Sean, that this Broncos defense collectively was better than the Chicago Bears defense on paper. Now, it was a matter of execution. And I know, and rightfully so, I mean, I've taken some flack about the 12-4 prediction, and as to what were you thinking, how preposterous, and what were you drinking at that time. But it was a logical assessment on this team based on knowing what Fangio was able to do, having a competent quarterback in Joe Flacco, something that the team hasn't had in a couple of years. I just kind of thought, you know, it was going to be a gumbo of different ingredients, and the recipe was going to be winning some football games. And the games that the Broncos have been in thus far this season, these were all games that were winnable games. You look at the Packers game, and you look at the way that they actually scored points. There were two drives that Aaron Rodgers actually went down and made some quality plays, but the Broncos, we helped them. We turned the ball over. There were six sacks. When you do that, it's hard to win. And right now, Sean, it's hard for this team, knowing as though they lack a lot of depth, they're not as talented as I anticipated, they cannot win close games because they make so many mistakes. And when you don't have that talent, you cannot commit penalties in key situations and take points off the board. So I'm not going to, you know, somewhat backtrack from my prediction. It was what it was. But what I'm seeing right now is not indicative of what I thought. I mean, Josie Jewell is not an every down linebacker. He finds himself in difficult situations because he seems to not understand man coverage, where you need to place your body in zone coverages, how far you need to drop back in coverage. And it just takes me back, Sean, to the beginning where we started with the draft. There was a guy in Devin Bush and Devin White that were there for the Broncos to take, but they decided to take Noah Fant. And the baffling part about it is you took Fant with the number one overall pick for the Broncos, but you're not using him, and by flexing him out like, you know, Andy Reid does with Travis Kelce. So I'm left pulling my hair out.
You bring that up, and let's go to that offensive side. Not only were Cortland Sutton and Emmanuel Sanders the only two wide receivers to catch a pass yesterday, they were the only two that even got targeted. Juwan Winfrey was active, didn't get a look. Deshaun Hamilton did not get a look. I mean, nobody even got a look except for Sutton and Sanders on the outside. And then, like you're saying, Fant got three. But This was dink and dunk kind of stuff. There really wasn't any aggressiveness to the offense. And truthfully, that seems to have been something that's a common denominator in all three of these first games.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I always go back in these situations to the play calling. What is being dialed up to get these players involved in the game? I mean, you know, Philip Lindsay was a guy who really lit a spark and was the only spark for me in the loss against the Green Bay Packers. And it was finding ways to get him on the one-on-one matchups, get him out of space. A couple of times we saw both Royce Freeman and Lindsay, you know, on the field at the same time, something I felt that Gangarello should have gone to earlier in the season. I know we're still 3 weeks in, and most people said, oh, well, we're still early in the season. But you had two games prior to the game on Sunday to get those guys involved. And Sutton, a guy who came in training camp, he had the case of the drops. He showed a great amount of maturity in the past couple of games. He had one play where he was downfield. He ran and just blew up a Packers defender. And that's something that we didn't really see from, you know, Cortland Sutton last season. But, I mean, Scangarello has weapons. We've seen and we continue to see the few teams that run this style of offense. They struggle at times, but they find a way from an offensive coordinator standpoint to feature their skilled players. We still have yet to see this. I would like to see a little more creativity, a la maybe a Josh McDaniels or Sean McVay. Getting their players in bunt situations, that's kind of a cluster situation close to the line of scrimmage, or maybe a wide cluster to kind of create spacing for the route so Joe Flacco can hit these guys on time, on rhythm. But we are not seeing that, and I have no idea why we haven't seen an evolution in this offense yet.
Let's go over to the defensive side, too. We know that the Broncos are the first team since at least 1982 when sacks were recorded as an official statistic to have no sacks and no turnovers in their first three games of the season. This was a defense that was designed to do both of those things. How much of this do you look at it as scheme? I noticed earlier today on Twitter you were showing how there was a little more luck with man-to-man coverage. You were showing some other games and how that works. The Broncos have a lot of their top players. We're here from the Wade Phillips era, the see ball, get ball. Now you're going with a defense that is more of a zone base. Obviously, nobody plays just zone, just man-to-man. I get all that. But some of the Broncos players seem like they're just maybe a little more comfortable in a man-to-man setting. And this does not seem to me... You played. You're going to be better at it than I am to be a great fit for the athletes that they have on this team.
Well, with the athletes that you have on this team, you have to run a mixture of coverages. You cannot be married to one thing. You cannot be married like Joe Woods was to calling all man for 60 minutes. You cannot be married to just calling zone coverage for 60 minutes. And here is where individuals kind of, yeah, just mistaken man and zone coverage. If you're going to play man-to-man coverage, you make the windows tighter for the quarterback and force him to make a great decision. His ball placement and timing has to be on. But the problem with playing man-to-man a lot is that your corners and your nickel guys and sub packages, their backs are to the quarterback, so they can't see the quarterback. Now, the luxury and the joy of playing zone coverage, and why Fangio was hired, was that it allows your defenders to see the quarterback. The quarterback is the most important person because other than official, he touches the ball on every single play. But the problem that we're seeing that the Broncos are having with the zone coverage is that it is predicated on being able to get pressure on the edge and in the interior of the line between the two A-gaps. That's something that we haven't seen. And also, it forces guys in the back end to be smart, and they have to see routes and personnel as they come out of the huddle, as guys line up, as guys start to move. What I'm seeing is, though, is like these individual players that we have right now, especially at the linebacker position, is though they've never seen zone drops before. No one's ever talked to them about zone drops. And that is the crucial part when you play zone coverage. Every guy has to know what the other guy across from him or right next to him is doing. If you don't get to the right depth, it's a problem. It's no different than a wide receiver on the 3rd and 13, right? He cuts his route short but only runs it at 12. I mean, you have to run your route at 13. From guys from a defensive standpoint, I'm not seeing that. I mean, now with the, I guess, the blueprint being out on this team, throw short, quick passes, line up in the shotgun. You can run play action on the center. But Von Miller and Chubb can't get there. And all you have to do is do what Aaron Rodgers did, use a hard count, quick count, a silent count, get those guys off sides, and then now you have a free play because the guys in the back end, they don't stay with their guys. And, Sean, I'll add this. On the play, I think it was the first quarter, it was 12 minutes and 24 seconds to go in the game. It was a shot down the field on Kareem Jackson and the Scantlin, the receiver for the Green Bay Packers. The other problem with the Broncos' secondary and defense collectively, that's a little different from the Chicago Bears and what we saw tonight on Monday Night Football, they give the coverage away before the ball is even snapped. Go back and watch that play. Both Simmons and Parks rolled directly to the left side of the defense over Mercedes Lewis and the other Green Bay Packers tight end. Basically what they told Aaron Rodgers before the snap, throw the ball to the middle of the field because no one's standing there. You saw the same thing happen to Isaac Yiadom in the game against the Oakland Raiders at the start of the season. And I'm sitting wondering, what are they being taught? And are they able to take from the classroom and bring it to the field? Because it is disheartening what I am seeing as a former DB who played here and who coached for the Niners. I am baffled as what at to degree of what I'm watching on film.
He is Nick Ferguson. Make sure you catch him. He's all over the station here with 104.3 The Fan. Follow him on Twitter, Nick_Ferguson_25. A lot of really great breakdowns on Twitter today with some video. Really handy way to get a little bit smarter at football. Thanks so much for your time tonight, Nick. Appreciate it. Looking forward to next time already.
Appreciate it, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.